or your money back.
Republicans trash Obama, not each other. By most accounts, including my own, Mitt Romney and Michelle Bachmann did the best of the seven. But Congressman Ron Paul scored big points with me anyway when he talked about getting out of Iraq and Afghanistan now and focusing on our own national security. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Right from the get-go, we go to New Hampshire, talk radio news on hand. Jeff Holtzman has put in a very, very long day, and before he crashes, he's coming on with us. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, Kate. I'm good. How are you?
Good. What an interesting debate. I think it truly was. It seemed, as I said moments ago, from my point of view, and I think a lot of others, it wasn't really about ganging up on each other and pounding each other to the ground. It was more about going after Obama and focusing on their own pet issues. Did it seem that way to you?
Yeah, it seems like right now they're not quite ready to commit to going after each other and beating each other up. And, you know, that could be a strategy that could serve them well. The fact that, you know, the Democrats are going to be able to sit back and just pick their Republican to attack. So Republicans might, you know, be sort of delaying that, you know, so they can have a little bit of ammunition left, you know, when the campaign kicks into high gear. I thought it was an interesting debate, if for no other reason than it sort of solidified some things that people were discussing beforehand. I thought Mitt Romney obviously had been considered the front runner going into this. He didn't really do anything, in my opinion, you know, to make people think otherwise. I think he sort of stayed above the fray. He played it fairly safe. Tim Pawlenty, you know, a lot of people have been discussing Pawlenty and characterizing him as sort of the alternative to Romney, and I thought that he positioned himself well to be that guy tonight. And in fact, some people that I talked to after the debate, you know, I asked them, you know, give me off the top of your head first two names. You know, the top two Republicans right now at this point, and it was Romney and Pawlenty, obviously. I think a lot of people felt like that. Michelle Bachmann, I thought, had a pretty strong performance. She came out of the gate, dropped a couple bombs on President Obama, and, you know, made going after the health care law one of her main, you know, theses of the night. And I thought that she did a pretty good job. And the buzz after the debate is that a lot of people are looking at her as a viable contender. And a lot of people are looking at her possibly as a vice presidential choice, you know, heading into 2012. So that's interesting. And then, of course, Rick Santorum, who I think a lot of people didn't give a lot of credit to. You know, at most people were chalking him up as being sort of an agitator. But I thought he had a really strong showing tonight. I think whenever he was given the microphone, he took it. He seized the opportunity. And I think he might have converted some people who otherwise weren't believers. So, you know, I thought for the first big debate, sort of gave us a clear picture of how the field is beginning to shape up.
Yeah. How about Newt Gingrich? Because Newt Gingrich is a guy who's wanted to be president for a while. It seemed to me, you know, the take on Newt is he takes over and he rambles on and on. He was much more concise in his answers. But I still feel like, Jeff, that Newt is a guy who's eventually going to drop out. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. It's hard for me to say whether or not, you know, how serious he is at this point. You know, he maintains that he's in it to win it. And I agree with you on his responses tonight. They were much more concise. You know, he's generally regarded as the ideas guy, but I thought that he didn't really do anything to annoy anybody in terms of, you know, rambling on and that sort of thing. I don't think he really said anything controversial tonight. In fact, he drew applause a couple times, you know, when he was going after President Obama on the debt and, you know, and on spending. And I think that overall, I don't think he had one of the top performances tonight. I would, you know, I'd give him an average grade. And so I don't think that he really elevated himself. And we'll probably see when the next round of polls come out that he hasn't done so. But I didn't think he made any glaring mistakes tonight other than, you know, possibly being a little weak out of the gate in terms of, you know, sort of mumbling and stumbling to get his answers, you know, in line.
Yeah. The only stumble I thought was you mentioned Paul Wentine and his performance and how you actually thought it was pretty strong, and a lot of people thought it was strong when you asked them who really came in maybe one and two. But I think he kind of stumbled on the Romney question, and a lot of people outside of New Hampshire were saying that. How did that play out actually as it was happening when he was asked about Romney and what he had said about him as far as Obamacare?
Well, I think Rick Santorum said it best afterwards. I got the chance to speak to Santorum and asked him about that, and he said, you got to, you know, if you have to say that you said it, and if you say it, you should mean it. And I think that that was really a shot at Pawlenty to own up to those comments. And you're right. I mean, Pawlenty, you know, he sort of backed off that. He shied off that. And that was indicative to a larger degree of the fact that really no candidates wanted to go after each other and go for the jugular. But, you know, it was certainly the elephant in the room. It was, you know, the question had to be asked. He probably could have done a better job. There was also another sequence, you know, where candidates were asked, you know, about Mitt Romney's position on abortion, and they really didn't take the opportunity to go after him. So, again, indicative of, you know, a larger effort to, you know, really go after Democrats and not, you know, after their own.
Yeah. Businessman Herman Cain, who's definitely a political novice, his big thing was calling for the end of capital gains tax as a way to kind of stimulate job creation. What kind of reaction did Cain get from the group in New Hampshire?
Well, you know, my colleague, Tony Sayek, put it best, that he felt that Herman Cain had probably, or at least arguably, the best debate in terms of providing specifics. And, you know, he obviously was very substantive in terms of his arguments on capital gains. He also sort of laid out in pretty specific terms what he would do to revamp Social Security. He said he would not raise the retirement age, but he would, you know, he'd favor private savings accounts. And others, you know, spoke about that. And Pawlenty obviously advocated for the PSAs. But Cain was pretty specific, and I think that's the kind of candidate Cain is. He doesn't really feel as though he has to play it safe, because he's got, you know, he's got a lot of work to do. He basically has to introduce himself, you know, to the American public, and he's got to introduce himself to households who aren't familiar with him, because he doesn't have the name equity of somebody like Romney, you know, or Gingrich for that matter. So yeah, absolutely. I think he was met with. I don't think it was as strong a performance for Cain as the South Carolina debate, in which he, you know, was generally regarded as winning that one, but I think that he was at least, he got points with conservatives who were happy that he came out and gave some specifics.
Yeah. Jeff Holtzman, get some rest. Talk Radio News. We appreciate your time, man.
Thanks, Kate. I will.
All right. Take care. How do you think the seven fared? Let me throw out my digits. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. You can bet for the next couple of days, and particularly the next day or two, there's going to be a lot of conversation about overall Republicans going after Obama. And the fact, as Jeff mentioned, nobody took the first bite out of their fellow opponent. The Republicans were playing nice. You can bet in the next series of debates it certainly won't be that way. So ultimately, who was the big winner? We're talking about it on the flip side here on ATN.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow. Guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com. We have many more debates to hash out here on America Tonight, I know. It's a snore moment, isn't it? These debates. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Yeah. The crickets tell the story. I mean, they don't lie. I can't control the crickets here on this vast network. So the debates, a little more exciting than watching paint dry, but... no attacking, nothing sexy as far as that's concerned, because you got to go for blood. When you're playing on the same team, that's all good, but you got to go for blood. Ask Hillary Clinton to talk about what happened between her and Obama on the campaign trail, and that's it. And then the left person, the person who's left standing, rather, or not the left person, but the person, Freudian slip, the person who is still on the dance floor after... being beaten up, kind of like that Dancing with the Stars thing, only with politicians. Well, they get the nomination. So now you got seven, and I think there's going to be more, but some will drop out. Does Herman Cain hang in, the former pizza exec? He's got conservative fans, no question about it. He's very blunt, and he's not a career politician, kind of refreshing. A lot of people like this guy, but can he really... get it over Mitt Romney, who's much smoother when it comes to politics, who has a few friends, can call in a few favors, just work in the businessman thing like Cain is. Or who says a woman couldn't come around again, especially with the Tea Party in her back pocket? Michelle Bachmann, a fiery conservative congresswoman from Minnesota, has a big following with Tea Party activists. She goes after Obama, doesn't hold back when it comes to that, and completely annihilates Washington inside her. She looked a lot better than she has sometimes when she's come out. Remember the State of the Union, her response, the Tea Party response, because there was the funky thing with the camera, and so it was easy to, for the media to make fun of her and whatnot. But she came out a lot better in this debate. Also, Ron Paul, who has some good things to say, but has suffered his own problems because of the way he's portrayed in the media, had some, I think, right-on things to say. Why are we still dragging on in Afghanistan and Iraq, spending all this money like we're an ATM machine gone wild and giving it out, just handing it out to everybody but our own people, and not worrying about our national security enough and the economics of what's happening with the money handouts? So I like Ron Paul, but I just don't think he has a chance. He just doesn't have a chance. He's always going to get some numbers. He's always going to show up in the polls. He's always going to be able to raise some money, but he cannot overwhelmingly knock off the guys like Mitt Romney. I don't think so. Newt Gingrich really would like to be the person who gets the Republican nomination, but I don't see that either. Although, in the debate, in case you didn't see it, usually he's long-winded. He was very staccato. Ba-da-dump, ba-da-dump, ba-da-dump. Somebody taught him how to talk in threes, and that was a good thing. So he came out a lot better. But still, I think the two that emerge, Bachman, because she said she was running and she didn't pull any punches, sailed through whatever it was that she was asked. Same thing with Mitt Romney. A lot of people like the former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum, but I don't think he's going to have enough steam either in the end. And there they are. Pretty decent debate on some of the issues that, of course, are burning a hole in all of our pockets, and it's the money issue. What to do with the economy? What are you doing with the deficit? How fast can you solve the problem? I mean, we live in an ADD world, and we don't have time to keep going down these twists and turns and these paths where we're going to get through the forest eventually. We're not eventually people. That's not America. That's not how we roll here. And now we've gone through the first part of Obama, and a lot of people, even people who voted for Obama, do not want a part two, do not want to see that. If gas is high, if unemployment is high, who's ever running has a very, very good chance to make some noise. I wouldn't have thought that originally, but based on some conversations that I had in New York with people, in fact, a longtime Democratic strategist, someone who's been around for 20 years, said, never underestimate, this is how it was put to me, never underestimate white rich men with power. And that's how they look at it. That do not think just because Obama is about the change and has a won over the hearts of some of the younger people, there's a big fear that, first of all, the youth is disenfranchised and removed from the whole thing, and they're not going to come out and vote this time with the use of the social network and how exciting it is, and that there are plenty of women that will stay home, they're not going to go and vote, and that this president is not necessarily a lock. Is not necessarily a lock to be the next president to win a second term. I think it comes down to money, in a sense, although he's raised almost a billion. I think it comes down to the money that people are not making. And if those same people don't just gripe about it and actually go out and vote, that's where they're going to sock it to him, and that's where he's going to be. That's where he's going to be in trouble, because even though it's about the electoral votes, really in a presidential election, that's where we're at. But there is definite sway in numbers, and if enough people go out and vote and they're not happy with what they've seen, then all bets are off. Too early to tell, other than some of the things, the broad strokes I just painted for you, on this debate as to what we're going to see in the next time around. I think that they'll get a little more heated and go after each other, because eventually someone's going to have to emerge, and they're going to have to do that. They're going to have to say, look, you want to vote for me because X, Y, Z, and nobody else on this stage is doing that. There's no way they can play nice and win the nomination. So they're going to have to start attacking each other on the issues. All right, quickly, there were a couple of other things worth mentioning here right at the top. You know, we have this thing with Mother Nature and quakes and all that. Very scary thing. Christchurch, New Zealand. Second time in 4 months, another earthquake. People concerned about the infrastructure, what's going to happen to these buildings that aren't quake-proof. And listen to this woman.
Everything just went crack, bang, and I'm feeling real jittery now.
It's just really tiring. I think that's what it is. It's just really exhausting. And then you sit here in town and you wonder if the house is standing.
Sort of jumping under my desk, and then it just happens so quickly, doesn't it? And then it's all over.
Yeah, pretty scary. Over 5 on the Richter scale, and you can hear it, especially in that one woman's voice, how shaky it was when they're just not sure when the earth is going to crack open again and what happens next. It's not just Californians who are waiting for the big one. And Christchurch was a lovely place. They're very, very worried after what happened the first time around. Well, it's a first for Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks. If you're a hoop fan, you know, we got to give them the daily salute. They're still living and breathing what happened on Sunday in Miami. They slayed LeBron James and the rest of the crew there to take home the trophy, ultimately crowned number one in the NBA. The owner of the Dallas Mavericks, who's often fined and criticizes David Stern, had this to say about his team.
I mean, obviously it feels great, but I'm happiest for Dirk, Jay Kidd, Jason Terry, Donald Carter, Mavs fans, the city of Dallas. You know, hopefully I'll have more cracks at it, but these are the guys that laid it out every single day, you know, played through pain. So I'm happiest for them.
Ah, now's the fun part. It's all about planning the parade. And I think a lot of people in that city will come out, even in grotesque temperatures, very, very hot temperatures, to roll out the blue faces and the blue shirts for the Dallas Mavericks, who had never captured this title, and it's the first for the guy you just heard, that owner. So congratulations to that team for beating Miami in 6. And so it goes as we roll on.
Go off the grid for worry-free phone calls now. Yes, worry-free, affordably priced, no-hassle mobile, residential, or business phones can be yours at offthegridphones.com. Our plans start at only $14.99 per month for residential and only $39.99 per month for mobile, and our mobile rates include taxes and surcharges. That's cheaper than the top 3 providers in North America. What makes us off the grid? We never ask for your Social Security number and never run a credit check or make you sign a contract, something those large phone companies can't offer. Offthegridphones.com offer some of the lowest, most affordably priced plans in the industry. And popular low-priced mobile phones are available too. So make the switch today to offthegridphones.com for mobile, residential, or business phones. Get your off-the-grid phone by calling 800-600-5553. That's 800-600-5553, or go to offthegridphones.com. Affordable, private, all this and more at offthegridphones.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You've heard a lot lately about zeolite, but what is it and why do you need it? Zeolite is a beautiful, complex, crystalline structure that encapsulates radiation and odors. ZeoKing Zeolite naturally eliminates radiation poisoning your body may pick up from x-rays, security scanners, or nuclear fallout. ZeoKing flushes environmental toxins absorbed from smoke, cell phones, and chemicals. so it detoxifies heavy metals, including mercury, lead, and cadmium. Zeo King Zeolite helps boost your immune system, allowing your body to balance itself and cut off food supply to cancer and parasites. Order your Zeo King Zeolite now from ZeoKing.com for only $39.99 and receive a free month supply with every order. Call 888-402-6779. That's 888-402-6779. Or visit ZeoKing.com. That's ZeoKing.com for natural elimination of radiation poisoning.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter Mars. In other words, hold my hand.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Where was the president while seven who would like his job on the Republican side of things were duking it out, not against each other so much, really more over him, in the first debate? I think there's going to be a few of these things, too, especially as the faces change. So during a speech before a manufacturing crowd, actually at a plant in Durham, North Carolina, the president said that spurring job growth is absolutely the largest economic problem that we're facing in this country. Now, he knows the pressure is on. He knows it's about those jobs, really. Doesn't take a PhD to figure that out. Think there's a chance that these are going to be more than shovel jobs? Sit back, take a listen.
Today, the single most serious economic problem we face is getting people back to work. We stabilized the economy. We prevented a financial meltdown. An economy that was shrinking is now growing. We've added more than 2 million private sector jobs over the last 15 months alone. But I'm still not satisfied. I will not be satisfied till everyone who wants a good job that offers some security has a good job that offers security. I won't be satisfied till the empty storefronts in town are open for business again. I won't be satisfied until working families feel like they're moving forward again, that they're progressing again.
The big thing, too, the focus, as far as moving forward, the president's answer is the same one we've heard before. Clean energy, 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 that production. And that's going to be the comeback. Also, American manufacturing. So in other words, made in America. Manufacturing things here. How do you do that when the tax breaks are going overseas? That would have to be taken away. That would have to be taken out of the equation. And when delicately they're encouraging this global community, which is part of what the president has been doing in reaching out to other countries and cutting deals with the export, importing kind of things that are happening in the country, how does that happen? That would have, you would have to rethink that whole thing. That would have to change. Now, do I think it can happen? Oh, yeah. It should have happened a long time ago. Cut out the brakes and have the manufacturing here. Or how about incentives to come back to the United States and produce in the United States? Lure the corporations back onto our own soil and turn it back around. Instead of going overseas. Because what's it about? Gordon Gekko, the fictitious character from Wall Street, said greed is good. Remember that speech? Remember that line? And for the corporation, it's all about the bottom line. That's why when people get outsourced, when people get let go, it's the bean counters who are drawing the lines. In fact, I heard it put this way one time. I thought it was the worst thing I had ever heard. So now longer you're no longer a human. You're a unit. That's what you are, a unit. Somebody I know in a management position was told you have to let go of 20 units. Wow. And they started to argue and say, well, but this person has a family, and this person just started working with us and is doing all these great things, and this other person has been here for long. And automatically, the bean counter said, I don't care. I don't want to hear the person. It doesn't matter. You just count out, and you figure out 20 people who are gone. 20 units. That's what they call them. I just want to see 20 units on the list. And part of that was because of jobs going overseas because it was cheaper to produce. So the president's people weren't stupid. They know that it's about economic recovery and the key is the jobs and putting the president in Durham, North Carolina in a manufacturing plant. That was the perfect thing to do while all of the Republicans, or at least the ones running for president, were in New Hampshire. And part of that speech was all about the commitment to job opportunities and also the Council on Jobs and Competitiveness and emphasis on the role of science and technology education and, of course, hammering home clean energy, and clean energy manufacturing, because those kind of plants will create more jobs as we head on forward into the next couple of years. But ultimately, he knows this. The report card doesn't matter what happened with the previous administration. Doesn't matter how long he's been there. Doesn't matter what he inherited. I will say it again. He will be judged on jobs, who's working, who's making it a decent living versus who's not, and gas, gas, gas. And all of us know it. All of us know it. Because, I mean, I could we could take all different kinds of marks, high water marks, low water marks. When I say low water marks, well, gas drops another 20 cents. Everybody's always talking about gas prices. When I went back east, first conversation I had, gas prices. Pennsylvania 50 cents higher than New Jersey. How is that? I think there's some fixing going on there. How is it in Pennsylvania, over a bridge, it's 50 cents higher? Talk to the people in California on the West Coast, up and down the West Coast, not just California. Why are the people on the West Coast, a lot of you listening to me in Washington, why are you paying so much more? In Illinois, especially if you live up toward Chicago. It's gas prices, ladies and gentlemen. That's what people are talking about. Unless they start to dip down. When they start to ease and dip, everybody forgets about the gas prices. And then whatever the new high is kind of sits. Because this time last year, you were paying maybe $1.75. And talking about, oof, over $2. How high is that? And jobs. Because when people aren't working and they're trying to figure out ways to continue to get unemployment or ways to string part-time jobs together or where could they possibly apply for a job next, when they see ads in papers, when they go to all the internet places, the career builders of the world, where the jobs sound really good, then it turns out half the time they don't have the job, or through no fault of the internet posting them, thousands of people or at least hundreds of qualified applicants apply for one and two jobs. What are the odds? Not good. That's what makes America tick. Wouldn't we love to hear the words balanced budget, surplus? Surplus is a great word, isn't it? You know, when Bush came into office, there was a surplus. That surplus went away. But I don't think the current president can keep going back to the Bush administration. You cannot keep tossing the ball back there. Because if you want to be president, you have to move it forward. You have to figure out a way. And you just heard what he had to say about jobs. Did it move you? Did it make you think that we're turning a corner? Maybe it did. Do you feel like the economy can be stimulated, was stimulated, and it's unfair, some of the criticisms? And I was thinking about this, and I was crunching a few of my own numbers. And the scariest one, and one of the biggest ones, I think, has to be the fact that since Obama took office under his watch, the federal deficit has gone up 35%. That's a big number, 35%. And we were talking about numbers on the previous show, the made in China factor, that I bet you've got 60, 65% of the stuff in your house that was made in China. How do you get that number down to 35%? Sure, manufacturing jobs in the country, bringing them back. But you can't force the corporations to do that, and you can't wave a magic wand in front of them when there's prosperity going on elsewhere and things are being made cheaper. Really, how do you seduce them into bringing the jobs back when they're paying so much less for those units, aka people, to work on the stuff that you're buying? That's a tough turnaround. All right, believe it or not, besides New Hampshire, there are a few other things that happen across this great nation. Odds and ends.
ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. The best pharmaceutical grade available at all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with you Hindi and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 cap summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps, summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
From New Hampshire to a few other things worth throwing out here as we head for the gates in the first hour. Certainly, this is just the beginning of what could ultimately become a little bit more heated between the Republicans. But you didn't have to look for things to get heated in this series between the Boston Bruins and the Vancouver Canucks. What happens when you have a star goaltender that starts to fall apart? Well, if you want to win the cup, it's called pulling him. Take a listen to what happened in the game in Boston between the Bruins and the Canucks.
Boychuk at center, up ahead of Beverly. Over the Vancouver line to the high slot. Drop pass out of Lucic, walking in a wrist shot, and he scores! It broke through the logo pads! And Milan Lucic has given the Bruins a 2-0 lead in the first period. Beverly, a long drive, and he scores from the left point. Ryder tipped it in front. And the Bruins are up 4-0, 9:45 into the game. And the Bruins with another convincing win at home. And for the first time in their history, they'll play a Game 7 of the finals in Vancouver Wednesday night.
Yeah, how about that? So Robert Luongo was pulled with, I guess, at 8:35 into the game for the second time in the series. How about that? He had a, I mean, I'm sure he was slamming things around probably in the back, in the background, because Roberto Luongo was definitely shaky, and what could you do? He was getting further and further out of the crease, and ultimately he ended up behind the bench. So three goals, that was too much. He was replaced by Corey Schneider, and of course Boston goes on. You just heard it there, 5-2. Now there's a game 7 in Vancouver on Wednesday night, baby. Game 7. Matt, you're a hockey fan. Do the Canucks beat the Bruins, or do the Bruins win this Game 7 on the road?
I'm going with Boston, one, because I have a huge bias against Vancouver. I just can't stand their whole team, except for Ryan Kessler. That's about the only player. But they dive all the time. They're turning the NHL into, like, European soccer. I absolutely can't stand it, the way they fall over the ice when someone just taps them. So I'm definitely going for Boston. Plus, when you look at it, Boston at home has just completely destroyed Vancouver. And if you look at the games that Vancouver has won, Boston could have easily won any one of those games. And I think Game 7, Luongo is a big choke artist. I think it's going to be going to Boston.
All right, I hate the Bruins. So unlike Matt, because his bias, so everybody knows, the mothership, of course, is in Minnesota, and he is a huge Minnesota fan. So there's a reason why he doesn't like the Canucks. There's a reason why I don't really like Boston. But I think, because I'm a Flyers fan, but I think Boston wins it. I agree with him for several of the reasons that
Tim Thomas is playing out of his mind right now, too.
I was just going to say that, yeah. And there's no question that they're going to ride that wave. They're going to ride the wave of momentum. Sometimes you can take a 6 and ride it into a 7 on the ice. You know, it's hockey. You got to play all the periods. Anything can happen. Game 7s are so bloody exciting. Anybody who's a hockey fan has to be thrilled. So that's a good odds and ends deal, because I know that there are people that are listening to us in the Northeast that are Bruins fans, and they have to be psyched. And there's some Canadians listening that are Canuck fans who aren't thrilled that this didn't close out, but now it's in Vancouver. So from the ice, we go to San Diego, and this crazy story about an unemployed software guy who stockpiled lots of explosives in his house. You know what he was sentenced to? 30 years in prison. There is a lesson here. This is no joke. We're not fooling around. This is the mandatory, actually, minimum sentence to brandishing, they call it a firearm, while robbing a bank. And the judge said that the punishment seemed a little excessive, but the charges were dropped because he admitted storing the explosives, and it made it worse. So the guy was robbing banks. That's what he was doing. He was robbing banks. And so he showed him where the loot was, and ultimately it made it a little bit worse for him. This guy's 55 years old. His name is George Jakubik. And they got him back in November. And check this out, because you never know. There's eyes everywhere, right? They arrested him after a gardener stepped on some residue. That's what it was. Thought it was weird, in his backyard in Escondido. And then had problems, had eye problems and chest and arm injuries. And so they had to ultimately destroy the house and burn it out. And they played that out on TV. You might have seen it. So they gave him everything for what he did. I mean, he had 9 detonators, 13 grenade holes, all kinds of stuff. I mean, you name it, he had it. He had some of that PETN, which is that explosives that Richard Reed had. Remember that, the shoe bombing thing, the attempted shoe bombing in Miami? So, wow. And this was the strangest part of this whole case. So that all happens. The gardener gets hurt, and that's how they discover what was going on in there. The judge, when he throws the book at him and gives him the sentence for robbing the bank, and you know, ultimately because of the firearms and all the explosives, he got the heavy amount of years. He said, that this is some kind of midlife crisis. He said, my goodness, this is quite a midlife crisis. And it's because he was in his 50s. His wife and other people came forward and they wrote all kinds of notes and said, look, he was upset about losing his job in his 50s, and that's what it was about. He felt useless and worthless, and he had worked his whole life. He was successful, and that's what happened to him. And this was a movie that was made. Michael Douglas, Falling Down. Remember, this guy was broken in that movie. A very, very similar thing. 30 years stockpiling explosives. Whew. Okay, we got another one for you, too. Boy, what would the world be like if we didn't have a teacher hitting on a kid? And this one's strange enough to mention, got some national buzz, and just makes you say, what are these people thinking? Who are in these classrooms? This time we go to Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania high school teacher arrested Friday. Why? Gave a student a sex toy on school property. Had wild conversations with the kid. The teacher's name is Cheryl Bremble. So what kind of charges do you get for that? Endangering the welfare of a child, corruption of minors, unlawful contact with a minor, related things to that. And we're talking special needs students. So this teacher, special needs teacher, started spending time with the kids outside of school, went on shopping trips, that kind of stuff. Wow. 40-year-old woman, and she's accused of giving a sex device to a kid on school property during school hours and then sending messages encouraging the kid to use it. Oh, you got to be kidding me. Oh, and how, of course, you think that this special needs kid is not going to be uncovered, that somehow that's not going to be found out. By the way, the bail was set at $25,000 during the arraignment for what happened here, and who knows what's going to come out next, because they're starting to talk about text messages in this case. Politicians and teachers need to stay away from strangers that they're pursuing, and they need to stay away from texting because it's getting them into too much trouble. They cannot handle it. Like I said, sad to say, but it seems like at least once a week a story like this of some sort is bubbling up about a teacher and a kid somewhere, and maybe even a group of kids. You got to keep your hands off the kids in the classroom. Oh, oh. Any thoughts on the show? Please send them to me, americatonight.net.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
Duh. Winning.